Well, good morning, everyone. The first reading is from Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. We've already sung part of it together. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the waters. Now the second reading is taken from Genesis. Now I'm going to read just a very few verses from Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Now I was told in all the notes for this Eco Church series that we're starting today that I had the whole of chapter 1 to read to you. Well, the subject is so large, and there are going to be so many words in the sermon that I thought it was wise to cut some of those words out and just refer to one or two. So the chapter begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then Genesis chapter 1 goes on to tell us about his work of creation over 6 days or six periods of time. It might be wise to call it rather than 6 days. Although I'm happy to debate that with you after the service if you want a lengthy debate. Then God said, "Let us make people in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground." So God created people in his own image, in the image of God. He created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I will give you everything, every seed-bearing plant, in the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seeds in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And so may God bless to us those readings from his word this morning. And now a reflection and a prayer. Our readings speak about perfection, but we now have a world which is fragile, broken, hurting, and which at times seems hopeless. Take time to lament the pain, brokenness, and tragedy that we are seeing today in the world. We have not always taken care of our world, nor acted in the way that we would have liked. Consider the ways in which our world has been damaged and is in need of renewal, and how we may have expressed apathy, negligence, and complicity. But in the midst of the brokenness, there is hope. There is beauty, and God is renewing his beloved creation. Think about the signs of hope that there are in our world, and the various ways that we can be part of this renewal. And now, a prayer. Loving Father God, loving Creator, we give you thanks for this day. Help us now to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity of this day. Grant to us a spirit of openness and inquiry, a willingness to learn and be taught, a willingness to be open to new ideas and challenges. We thank you that we are wonderfully made, that you know us and you love us. Help us to know that your love endures forever. You are renewing and restoring us, and also renewing and restoring the whole of your creation. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. Well, we decided during August to go through this subject of eco-church. Well, what are we talking about when we talk about eco-church? Especially the church. What are we talking about when we're talking about the church? What is or who is or who are, rather, the church? How would you want to answer that if someone asked you, what is the church? A lot of people out in the community would say, oh, it's that building there, or somewhere else. But is the church really the building? Are we talking in Eco Church about what we're going to do to our building? What a fine building we have here. When I was used to coming to little over years ago when I was minister in the district, it was a very different building then. I still remember some of the ground outside, the lawn bit that was much bigger in those days when you looked at it from the hall. And of course your worship area was the other way around. It was all very different. It's all changed a lot now. We have a wonderful building these days. And although we've been here almost a year now, I'm still discovering bits of it that I didn't know existed. Just a few weeks ago, I discovered two places upstairs. I didn't know they were there until a few weeks ago. But we'd have been here almost a year then. And so it's a wonderful place. We thank God for this place. And there are, yes, things we shall be doing with it, I'm sure, as a result of our eco-church theme. But we're really talking about us. We're talking about those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the church. And so when we're talking about eco-church, we're talking about some of the things we need to think about, some of the things we need to be challenged over, some of the things we need to change. Change isn't an easy word for anyone, I'm told, in the UK, let alone Christians. And it's a terrible word for Christians to cope with. If you ever mention any change in the church, we're always in trouble. Well, you know this because of some of the churches that talk about changing their pews, for instance, to chairs. It'll take about 10 years of discussion and emptying committees and meetings to change it. We do not like change. But today we're going to think about some of the things we need to help to change in our world. We read together today, the world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who live on it are His. And so today we talk about God's good earth. That's the title I've been given for today. God's good earth. And when God created the earth, He made it good, just like Him. And we need to remember that we have a good God. And so on this first Sunday of our eco-church theme, we proclaim with the psalmist, our one true God is the God of the created world and all its people. What is the mission of the church within this context? In answer to this question, I would say, God's purpose is that all should recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are called to convince all people of the Lordship of Christ. Yes, but the integrity of creation is also an important goal of mission, and this demands attention to ecological and economic issues. Christians should be speaking out against some of these issues, and we need to speak to God about them. We need to pray. Maureen Edwards, who wrote a lot of books about prayer, she has written, God does answer prayers. His answer is usually a challenge to do all that we can personally, socially, and politically towards the relief of suffering and for the peace and harmony of all people and for the earth itself. A mark of mission for the church should be to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and to sustain and renew the life of the earth. In our reflection before our worship songs, we read, we now have a world which is fragile, broken, hurting, and which at certain times, seems hopeless. Now let me share some statistics with you. 51% of known reptiles, 52% of known insects, and 73% of known flowering plants are in danger, along with many mammals, birds, and amphibians, of becoming extinct. Water pollution has become a growing concern as more and more waste is being disposed in our oceans, our rivers, and our lakes. This is harming our food supplies, our drinking water, and the environment. It's also harming animals, affecting plants, trees, and soil, etc. We're losing almost 19 million acres of forests annually. Now, as we're about to get involved in football, I'm going to use an illustration to explain what that means to us, linked to football. And by the way, well done the Rams this week. For all of you who are interested in that, make sure you educate Gary well when he comes here, so you get him on side supporting them also. I won't tell you who Sandy's eldest son supports, but it's not the Rams. It's at the other end of that road in Nottingham. But forget that for now. We won't get into that. But let me explain about this deforestation that's happening because of this vast number of forest that is disappearing. The equivalent of 27 football pitches is disappearing every minute. 27 football pitches disappearing every minute from our world. And that is causing 15% of all greenhouse gas emissions as a result of this deforestation. How can we be part of the renewal needed in our world? In John 3:16, which we shall be looking at again at the end of our series, we have the best known verse in the New Testament for us evangelicals. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God, who loved the world so much and still loves the world so much, calls us to love our world of today as we express his loving concern in every possible way. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 115, verses 15 and 16, we read, "May you be blessed by the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Heaven belongs to the Lord alone, but he gave the earth to the human race." These verses give us the biblical approach to these environmental issues and our question, to whom does the earth belong? Well, in Psalm 24, verse 1, we read, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God is its creator. So by right of creation is also its owner." But this is only a partial answer. For Psalm 115:16 says, "Heaven belongs to the Lord alone, but he gave the earth to the human race." The earth belongs then to God and the human race. To God because he made it. To us because he's given it to us. Let us be clear, though, about this, because we can misunderstand this so easily. He's not handed it over so completely as to retain no right or control over it. He has given it to us to care for it on his behalf. It's a leasehold arrangement, not a freehold arrangement. We are only tenants. God remains the Lord of the land. God has humbled himself to need our cooperation to subdue the earth. But we must also humble ourselves to acknowledge that our dominion over nature would be entirely fruitless if God had not made the earth fruitful. And if he'd not continued to give the increase. Our care of the earth has been delegated to us by God. We are accountable to him for our stewardship. It's not ours to treat as we please. We hold it in trust. We have to manage it responsibly and productively for the sake of our own and following generations. We are, as responsible Christians, called to act, to pray, and to give. Some of us are fit and able to act through sponsorship to raise funds to support projects and organizations working for positive change in our world. How do we use our energy? How do we holiday? How do we travel? How do we shop? These are all vitally important questions for us on the way we act as Christians and what we're really doing to our world, which is really God's world. We can all pray as well. Prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. And most of us can give. And all, if we think about all that we have, we need to say that all that we have belongs to the Lord. It's his, not ours. We need to give it generously to those who are working with him to put things right in our broken world. I commend two organizations Sandy and I support, above all others, relating to these issues. The issues that we've been looking at today. Tearfund is a great organization which stands, of course, for the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund. And it's doing such wonderful work with its many partners in great areas of need worldwide. And let me share with you just some of their practical ministry from their prayer diary of just 2 weeks ago. They're establishing tree plantations to protect communities from soil erosion and flooding in Bangladesh. And they're introducing environmentally friendly farming techniques to help communities during drought in Ethiopia. In the same week of that diary, they had other projects in Nigeria and in India and in Haiti and in Nepal. And so they cover a great deal of ground, and many other countries also. The other organization I would recommend is Christian Aid, greatly respected by most churches, well able to take on major projects covering worldwide needs. And there are many other smaller causes needing your help, support, and prayer. It is our Christian calling to live as responsible stewards of God's good earth. Amen.